The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This morning we have Brian Marvin. He works for BMC and he works in the federal area. And we brought him in today because as a trade show, I talked to some folks at BMC and said, hey, these guys are pretty smart. Maybe they can benefit my listeners. So I had Brian come in and talk about BMC and how his company, how his products can help my listeners maybe achieve some of the far-reaching goals that they have for them. But before we begin, Brian, tell us a little about your background and how you wound up working for BMC.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me today, John. My name is Brian Marvin. I've been with BMC for about almost nine and a half years. Background is prior Naval Academy grad, was a Marine officer, got out and went into the civilian world, as they say, the real world, and started my career working for a software company. And through years of kind of slugging it along, I ended up getting into the IT side of the world and landed at BMC Software. Started out in the public sector as a manager there, and then got promoted and moved over to Europe. Ran Spain and Portugal, and then got promoted again to run France, and then came back and had some tenure with our Remedy Outforce business and our mid-market business as well, and then took over Channel, and now recently run the federal public sector business for BMC.
Yeah, years and years of success, and I think you're very humble about your background, but this gives you a very unique perspective, and many of my listeners are in that perspective. They may have servers all throughout the world. They may have servers throughout the United States, and you can bring a perspective of competence in the area of domestic and competence in far-reaching systems as well as the federal government. So I think you're a real good pick to get on the air and help out my listeners with trying to figure out what BMC is all about. Well, tell me about BMC, the origins of the company, and what they do right now.
Sure. So BMC is actually headquartered down in Houston, Texas. We've been around for over 30 years. We are in over 140 countries worldwide. We service companies small, medium, large, and super mega large. We're in 82% of the Fortune 500. We are probably one of the best kept secrets in some regards, and we've changed that over the last few years in terms of our IT infrastructure offerings. BMC was publicly traded up until about 2 years ago, and then we subsequently were taken private through investor group led by Bain Capital.
So we have a company that's been around for a few years, primarily works in the enterprise area to help manage services by probably larger systems. Is that a good, pretty good summary?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you that it's everything from small type companies, you know, with 100 people or so, all the way up to hundreds of thousands.
Right. The Wikipedia article for you folks, which I read this morning, talks about business service management. That's really kind of a fuzzy word, isn't it? I mean, that can mean anything from cleaning the floors to doing the taxes. So business service management, is those three words that may talk about BMC?
So I think, you know, our strategy along what I'd say probably pre-acquisition was around business service management, which was essentially our ability to manage IT infrastructure for companies, again, small, medium, and large, and allowing different products within our portfolio to create an all-encompassing kind of turnkey ITIL best solution. In the last couple of years, our leadership has kind of changed the message around. It's really digital service management, and it's allowing companies, again, that are small, medium, and large, and are even mostly our federal customers as well, to really look at how they're improving their application performance, how they're improving their software delivery services, and basically how they're handling both internal and external customer-facing IT, utilizing and leveraging their own existing infrastructure.
So the company started off with taking large systems, enterprise-level systems, and optimizing them, making them work more efficiently. And I think that's a theme, too. They look at large, complex systems, and they, to use a mathematical term, they optimize them for users and for many different characters. And I think that's why the phrase digital services is a good application for what you folks do.
Right on. Yep.
Now, real easy to remember the website. I mean, B as in boy, M as in Mary, C as in Charlie, BMC.com. And you can go there and read blogs. There is a federal section there, too, as well, isn't there?
There is. When you get onto the website, there's actually an area for the federal government. There's videos. There are blogs. There are tweets. There's areas for LinkedIn. There's areas for Instagram, Facebook as well, Google+. So there's lots of information that we host on our website that's actually dedicated for the federal vertical.
89% in the Fortune 500, big enterprise clients, and you partner with companies like IBM, Cisco, Amazon Web Services, Dell, VMware, NetApp. You're juggling a lot.
We do. We have a very strong OEM program where we partner with a lot of other large Fortune 500 and Fortune 1000 companies. They handle different expertise around either networking or hardware, and our platforms will reside on their servers and their networks.
Good. So we have a pretty good idea what your company can do, and you represent the federal area here. You folks had a trade show back in the springtime, March, April. When was your show?
We did. We had a federal forum, and it was at the Mayflower Hotel. We had over 550 attendees. We had speakers that were subject matter experts from BMC, leaders in the organization that really came in and showed off the products, talked about the use cases, and talked about how it could positively impact the government.
Good. So if you're listening to this program and you typed in BMC and you're kind of wondering what they do, well, they have a wide range of products offerings that can help a lot of different applications. And maybe we can take and look at a couple of them in specific. But I want to focus on this thing of the digital services. And now what is trending right now in the federal government, these things called digital services teams, aren't
right.
there?
Yeah. I mean, the Obama administration has a digital services organization that was stood up about 2 years ago, I believe. And quite frankly, it's really about innovation and, you know, delivering new services through applications to the end users, which are taxpayers and citizens alike, both externally and even internally inside the U.S. government as well. So that's a really interesting area. You know, BMC, John, really exploits what I'll call the bimodal IT, which is the industrialized backend where there's existing infrastructure, existing legacy systems and data, and we help manage that and optimize that while you're building out those applications. There's an interesting study out by MIT's Sloan Business School, which basically talks a lot about balancing those two elements and really, in a sense, saying how do you can't really build new things unless you have your house in order. And that's what BMC does. We help you get your house in order from an IT perspective, and then we allow you the opportunity to manage and develop and create new applications and services.
So if there's a federal mandate to go cloud first, and you were thrown into that mix, I mean, let's face it, I think 80% of the budget for IT is spent on maintaining existing systems.
That's right.
And so you got an existing system out there, and that's 80% that's out there. And you're being encouraged to move systems to the cloud, and you're kind of wary and going, well, how can I make this transition? Well, by partnering with BMC, all of a sudden they may be able to pull something out of their tool bag that can assist you in making that transition a little bit easier than you could on your own.
Yeah, absolutely correct. I mean, we have more than 200 products, including our partner products as well. And essentially, you know, they're siloed to some degree around service support, which is our traditional remedy, which most people know BMC for, the help desk solution. We have performance and availability, which really allows you to analyze in a predictive mode what's going on with your operation and where there are strengths and weaknesses, and also anticipate where there are issues as well. We've got our workload automation tools, which allow for scheduling and release of new products. We have our data center automation, which is made up of our Blade Logic suite and our Cloud Lifecycle Management suite, which really allow you to efficiently manage your servers, patch compliance, allow secure data integration as far as what we'll call STIGs and updating data compliance issues as well. So really, we've got a full suite of products. We really look at what the customer needs are, and in the government's case, what the government needs are, be it Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Social Security, IRS, Federal Reserve, and really try to map to those business needs that they have.
And I think that's the whole idea behind a digital services team is looking at
a wide range of products, wide range of services, and trying to optimize them for the task at hand, where 2 or 3 years ago, cloud transition was kind of encouraged. It's almost being mandated now, and it's really forcing people to take a look. Okay, you have a serious system there. You got to move it to the cloud. What kind of services can I use? And some of your services can sit in the cloud, or they can sit behind a firewall too, can't they?
Exactly. We can do on-premise, we can host, or it can be a hosted solution. We work with our vendors, we work with our integrators, we'll work within the government confines, both in the classified and unclassified areas. So it's really a question of what the needs are for our government customers.
Let's take a little break, come back. We'll talk more about BMC and maybe take a look at a few environments or situations where they can help my listeners solve some of their problems.
Great.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Brian Marvin, Vice President for Sales, Public Sector for BMC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Brian Marvin. He's Vice President, Sales, Public Sector for BMC. And you can go to B as in boy, M as in Mary, C as in Charlie, BMC.com and get a whole wealth of information. They have events in town. They have events out of town. So BMC's got their big event in the fall. When's it coming up?
That's right, John. We have our big Engage Summit at the Aria Hotel this September. We have probably we'll have 200 different seminars and probably 60 or 70 different guest speakers, as well as all the BMC executives from our company that will talk about different topics and different products as well. It'll be the second year in a row we've done this, and we anticipate probably anywhere north of 3,000 to 4,000 folks coming to the event.
Yeah. I imagine if you're working for an agency now and you're to use BMC, this might be the graduate school or the place to really ask specific questions. And if you're just scratching your head wondering about BMC, you have local events too. When coming in the spring, is that when your next local event is? And
yeah,
it's
that's
free.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's right, John. You know, we just came off of our FY 15 program, which was at the Mayflower Hotel here in Washington, D.C. We had a little over 550 folks show up. We had our partners and our integrators also in attendance. And we'll do the same thing. We've actually already secured the dates for March. Looks like it'll probably be at the Woodley Park Marriott. We'll have more details to follow as we get closer to the event, but it should be another successful event. And again, we'll have all of the subject matter experts from BMC there, as well as our partners.
You know, what's interesting about your company is that if you probably type in competitors to BMC, I don't know if you'll find anyone, because BMC seems to work with everyone. It seems to make everyone look good. It's kind of like a professional photographer. We're going to even make John Gilroy look good. It's like if you have an IBM system, if you're working with AWS, if you're working with Dell, it can help you optimize those systems. I think that's a problem people have, because many of my listeners are dealing with reduced budgets, but they have to take and address some of the concerns like what Tony Scott's talking about. And he's going around town giving his talk, and he's saying that security is not designed for today's systems. So if you have existing systems and you're trying to apply continuous monitoring, well, how do you do it? Do you use Oracle's continuous? Do you use IBM's? Or do you consider something like BMC? I think that's where you fit in here, is the intermediary between many systems.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have lots of integrations between lots of different other existing tools. The beautiful thing about the BMC software suite is that it actually all works together, or it can work autonomously. And so, you know, if you look at something like our BMC TrueSight Operations Management, you know, it helps you really understand your IT from an operations perspective, either from a desktop or mobile perspective. It looks at dynamic baselining. It does. It has easy to navigate workflows and the like. And, you know, it's user centric from a performance perspective. So it'll allow you to really look at your applications to see how they're functioning within your own data center and within your own suite of software. So it's very complementive in that regard.
Now tell me about this 18F group. I don't know much about it. I've heard about it. Is this a digital services team? Is this just an initiative, or do you know much about this?
Well, so I think it's the Obama administration's digital services organization. They're really kind of a think tank / Silicon Valley transplanted type organization.
Tony Scott.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. And really, I think what they're trying to do is look at cutting edge ways to actually both integrate and engage with the taxpayer citizen, as well as how do they deliver services that are more efficient and easier and more intuitive for the taxpayer to use. I'll give you a great example. My son just graduated from high school and is going to college. And in his senior year, he had to put in his common application, which essentially is one application that hits all the colleges that he wants to apply to. So he doesn't have to fill that out again. He had to deal with Social Security for his Social Security number. He had to deal with Selective Service to sign up for pre-registration for the potential draft, if that ever happened. He had to deal with Department of Education in terms of his school and financial aid. And quite frankly, you know, all those things being integrated into one were seamless for him. And I was, as his dad, trying to take over control of the whole situation. And his famous line to me was, "Dad, I got this." And indeed he did. You know, within 24 hours, he had done everything he needed to do. And I was shocked and a little caught off guard that my son had grown up so fast. But it was all about the government's ease of use with the applications that they've established and created.
Let's take a phrase that's tossed around a lot, continuous monitoring. That seems to be a catchphrase. Something's real popular. I mean, there's many ways to implement continuous monitoring. I think what my listeners want to know is what's the best for them and what's the best for their specific mix of systems? And would BMC be able to assist them in that, or where would you fit in that kind of problem?
Yeah, so again, I think if we look at one of our really interesting and powerful tools, which is our BMC TrueSight Operations Management kind of tool. It allows you to identify, analyze, resolve, and service all the problems in a very fast and efficient way. It's really an analytics-driven performance management solution, and really what it'll do is it'll allow you to go across your IT operations and monitor all the time, both from an existing performance perspective and from a predictive and a behavioral perspective. So understanding where there are issues or potential issues around your software or your suite of tools.
And, you know, I'll throw another one here and see if you guys can handle this too, reducing the number of data centers. I know data centers have loose definitions, but I think the idea is to take and just reduce the number of systems that are out there to manage them more efficiently. I imagine you must be able to address that with some of the utilities you have as well.
Yeah, absolutely, John. So, you know, data center consolidation is always a key critical concern in terms of cost constraint. And as entities try to reduce their operating infrastructure and their cost associated with it, they're looking at how do they do that in an efficient way without sacrificing the services that they provide. And so, you know, our automation tools that we have in our BladeLogic suite are something that really makes sense. It allows you to reduce your manpower and put them on more important projects while you're actually creating and taking those repetitive processes that they do and automating them. So really, I'll tell you, we've had incredible success with our BladeLogic suite. Secure, it's robust in terms of its ability to do patching and configuration and essentially applying all those things in a very automated process. Again, really not taking someone away from a job, but allowing them to do a different job more efficiently.
So this applies to development, to testing, and training as well?
Correct.
So what about training? Is this training people to use your systems? What kind of training does your company provide?
Yeah, so, you know, BMC has a very robust education program. It's both will help and guide the user as well as create super users as well. So there's two aspects to it. We'll do it on site if it's so needed, or we have classrooms all over the country and actually all over the world where customers can go and be trained on our products and our tools.
And testing as well. It's difficult to train someone to be a tester. I know it's first thing kid out of college. Oh, he's the tester. More to it than that, I think.
Yeah, well, so you're right. Absolutely. So we have a program that allows you to train the trainer. From a certification perspective, you know, those folks that are what I'll always term the propeller heads, the engineers, the guys, the men and women that do all the tough work, we have a certification program that allows you to become absolutely certified on the products. And we also do the same with our partners and our systems integrators as well. So there's a very robust program out there for that.
You know, I was at a trade show and I was talking to some Salesforce people. And I see this whole idea of the cloud being interesting and intriguing for my listeners and the transition being intriguing. Something, well, you know, Salesforce is kind of a safe bet. I mean, you know, they're proven in many security categories and it's kind of easy to ramp up and ramp down. And you have a product that works very well with Salesforce. And all of a sudden you have kind of a tried and true cloud product that can be unified with maybe some of your services that can help them achieve some of their goals. Is this the RemedyForce product that I stumbled on?
Yeah, that's right. You know, Salesforce is an incredibly robust company. They've been around for many years now, over a decade. And they are what I'll call the de facto CRM standard as it relates to industry. And so, you know, our RemedyForce platform is really a tool that sits on their platform as well. So if you already have Salesforce, RemedyForce is just an app you can absolutely take on and leverage. The beauty of it is it already, you know, if Salesforce has already meets all the security requirements, RemedyForce, for all intents and purposes, fits right on there. So it's a bolt-on, if you will.
It's almost a no-brainer.
Exactly.
Let's take a break and come back. I want to talk a little bit more about Remedy and the variations that it has, you know, identity management, service desk, and then talk about this application with Salesforce, where it may be a nice solution for some person if you already have some Salesforce licenses and you're trying to figure out how to monitor something or how to handle service calls. This might be a good solution for some of my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Brian Marvin, Vice President, Sales Public Sector for BMC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Brian Marvin. He's Vice President, Sales Public Sector for BMC. That's an awful easy one for me, bmc.com. Get more information, get videos and blogs. And I was at bmc.com early this morning, and I see this big splash thing for Remedy 9. And so something for doctors, something for patients. What is this Remedy stuff all about?
Yeah, so John, Remedy 9 is actually our latest release of our ITSM software platform, and essentially it's almost a complete rewrite of our database with the use of Java, and really what it is it's built around mobility. So, you know, it's got powerful analytics. There's smart reporting built into it and self service. There's drag and drop dashboards and reporting. It's mobile everything. So it's configured both for server, but also for Apple iOS, for Google, for Android, HTML5, and it can be delivered as SaaS or an on-prem solution. It's got an incredible user interface. So, you know, it's very intuitive and it allows for a much better experience than our past customer experiences have been. It's formless input. So it has smart recorder offering, which allows you to put information in from a contextual perspective and allows for faster resolutions. Really, really cool. We're encouraging and we're seeing lots of our existing customers migrate or upgrade to the latest version.
Some of my listeners are not going to believe this, but years ago, when you worked for a services organization, you were paid a bonus on the weekend to carry a beeper in case something bad happened. And you'd have to be on a picnic and you'd have this beeper with you and you have to run into a payphone and see what's going on. Well, today, people monitor systems from the smartphones.
Right.
And when I think of Remedy 9, and when you said HTML, bang, smartphone, responsive, easy. Now, one thing I like about smartphones is that it's not going to give you a bunch of text like the old text messages. It's going to give you a dashboard, a spreadsheet, digital information represented visually. And so I think this is what the innovation here is that, okay, you're not in the office. You're responsible for what's going on. You can pick up your phone and get some kind of a dashboard, an idea of what your system is.
Exactly right. Exactly. And really what it does is it optimizes the overall experience and the service that's being delivered. And so when you think about what we're doing from a mobile workforce perspective, you know, the reality of it is it's really service desk in your pocket. That's the way we look at it. And so it's consumerizing all that knowledge. It has all of the change requests from a wizard perspective already built in. And again, I think, you know, from a platform innovation perspective, it's Java code based, so it's easier to deliver a scale, you know, performance. And what we see now is you know, BMC's had a leading industry CMDB, and so it's very simple to upgrade and to remain compliant using the database that's there.
I have plenty of Govies friends who are very serious and hardworking, and I have commercial folks that are serious and hardworking. And many times, if they're on their deck playing around with their kids or grilling something, guess what? They have their phones with them, and they're very responsible. They want to know what's going on. Oh, what's happening with my system now? And especially if you're working for FEMA. I mean, look at these organizations that have to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't have a choice. They have to keep up with their systems going on because they show up on Monday morning, they're going to get hit in the head with all kinds of problems. And it just makes their life easier, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no such thing as in the government and even in the commercial world as an 80% solution. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if you're the individual that something goes wrong with, you know, you're going to be the one that's accountable and responsible, and there's costs associated with it, and there's, you know, potentially additional issues associated with it. So, you know, we always say there's a CLM, it's cloud lifecycle management. It's also career limiting move. So, you know, you want to be on the cutting edge and the tip of the spear. This is the solution that allows
you. You don't want to show up a Monday morning at the Department of Commerce with, whoa.
Exactly.
No, you want to know.
Or before Congress.
That's pretty bad. I told the silly story about carrying a beeper, and I know no one believes that, but people used to carry beepers, believe it or not. Well, now they go to Apple Store and they look for a podcast. This is a podcast, so you can go to Apple iTunes and type in Federal Tech Talk, and you can listen to Brian's interview if you're in California or France or Spain, anywhere. It's a very powerful way to understand about BMC. Now, tell me something. When you try to learn about information about these different various services and what BMC can offer in the cloud, do you read a blog? Is this something you can maybe suggest for our listeners to just read?
Yeah, sure. I have daily input from Washington Technology. Mm-hmm. I also look at what's going on from, I put a Google Alerts out there on what's going on in terms of infrastructure technology. I look at Twitter, Facebook as well. Certain areas that are interesting to me from a government perspective, I'll look at. From a commercial perspective, you know, I'll look at, I read The Economist. And I have an app for that as well. In terms of overall IT, you know, BMC has LinkedIn, Twitter, we've got Google Plus, Facebook, et cetera. So I'm kind of plugged into all of the stuff right there. And, you know, we have an incredible office of the CTO where we have some incredible think tank gurus, and they post information that also is what I'll say forward thinking and cutting edge. So I leverage that as well.
At BMC Software for the Twitter folks out there. And my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, believe it or not. And people actually follow what I have to say. It's hard to believe. I had the folks from Tableau on last year. It was a big success. I was reading a review this morning about Tableau being compared with this stuff called Qlik and data visualization. Now, there are some companies like Microsoft and Oracle that also have data visualization or tools, but it looks like you're in that game as well. I mean, some of the screenshots I've seen, not too shabby, and so they can really represent some status information on systems in a nice visual manner.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've really focused on making sure that the user experience is extremely intuitive and allows for a pictorial that our customers and our partners can actually understand from an immediate view of what's going on inside their data center. So, you know, from everything from workload automation to our TrueSight operations to Remedy, they all have robust reporting tools in them and data visual analytics that really help you picture and discuss and show what's going on inside the data center. So if you're red, green, yellow, you'll have that opportunity immediately to know what's down, where it is, where it's located, what happened, and how to go back and remediate.
So this can be for situations that are behind the firewall, you know, in premise, and it can be for the cloud as well.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, the toss out this term hybrid cloud, but that seems to be increasing what happens. In an agency, they're going to have some existing systems there, and they're going to probably transition some to the cloud, maybe put something on Salesforce because it's a safe bet. And you may have analytics that measure one or the other, but it's tough to get that overview of the different types of systems.
Dashboard analytics is a key element for success inside the data center. So whether you're on-prem or you're in the cloud or you're delivering software as a service, you know, having that visual and that visual acuity to know what's red, green, yellow, how the performance peak of pikes or spikes and peaks are, and looking at those things is critical. And having it, you know, we all learn and look, but looking at a spreadsheet versus looking at something immediately from a pictorial perspective gives you extremely fast turnaround time and responsiveness.
I've had Oracle in the studio here. I've had IBM. I had Microsoft. I had Red Hat. I have all of them. And all of them would like to say, well, we want the whole shop to be brand X or brand Z or brand Y. But this is not true. I mean, there's no Fortune 500 companies that's going to be one brand of anything in there. Every larger enterprise is going to have a variety of systems. And the analytics and the information for any one of these systems may be fine. But the problem you have is if you have a hybrid system, bringing all those different disparate elements in and getting a handle on them for continuous monitoring. I mean, Oracle can't tell you what's going on with the IBM system. They can tell you what's going on with Oracle maybe and give you that limited set. But this seems like a variable toolbox that fits in many areas.
Yes, I totally agree. And it is. It's a plug and play process that allows us to monitor all your data center performance. And obviously, it's native and intuitive in that regard. And it allows us the ability to really check how you're performing. It's all about that, really. And you know, you don't want to have a situation where services are going down and you're not aware of it and you can't do anything to remediate. So we're looking at our tool allows that ability to prosecute all of the different areas and then help you make proper judgments around remediation.
So when it comes to compliance and risk mitigation, I imagine that your tools are all aware of current developments with the federal government. Or how does risk mitigation compare in the federal government with commercial organizations?
You know, actually, there's a strong parallel. So, you know, if you're a commercial bank, you have security operations and compliance, and you have to fall under, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley and FASB and all the other financial accounting and regulatory elements. Same with the U.S. government. And so there's a lot of parallel between both commercial and private sector and public sector. What's interesting, John, is you know, we build our apps and our tools to be compliant with FedRAMP. And most of our tools are FSMA and or NIST certified. So we operate in that regard.
Great. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about social media and some of the activities that BMC has on there and maybe the events coming up in the spring and how to register for them. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Brian Marvin, Vice President, Sales Public Sector for BMC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Brian Marvin, Vice President of Sales, Public Sector for a company called BMC. And we've been talking about some of the problems they solve for my listeners off and on. And if you want to learn more about BMC, I think the Twitter handle is at BMC Software. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And I was there this morning. You can find about events. And I think if you're considering products from BMC, you might want to follow their Twitter feed, see what's going on. They point to videos. They point to articles. And they also point to events. And there's a free event for you folks coming up in the spring. Is that right? Some time off, but it's still coming around.
That's right, John. It'll be our annual federal forum. That'll be at the Woodley Park Hotel. It'll be in March, and we expect and anticipate, you know, probably a much bigger crowd than this past year.
Great. Really good. Good. You know, I've done this show so many years that people stop me. I'm at an event or on the street and they go, well, that guy Brian was on the air. Now, is he a nerd or not? And, oh, what kind of phone does he have? And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test that's going to evaluate your nerdometer factor or not.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to ask these questions. We're going to find out exactly what level of nerdiness you are. And question number one, do you have an Instagram account?
No.
How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Three.
Three? That's a good number. That's not a bad number. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes.
Oh, you do. Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
No.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone 6 Plus.
That's a good answer. What's the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days?
United Airlines.
The easy one. Where am I going? If we break into your house this afternoon, how many tablets do we see floating around?
Two.
Not bad. And what was your most recent post in a social networking site?
Twitter, which would have been last night.
See, you're getting some nerd points here. And when is your Apple Gold Watch due?
I actually have an Apple Watch, but not the gold
one. You actually have one?
Yeah,
oh, I do. Oh, wow. You're getting a lot of nerd points now.
Yeah,
Are you wearing it now?
No. Oh. I'm wearing a Fitbit, actually. That's even not now. That's really, I guess.
More nerd points than you think. Nerd points than you think. And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was electronic. No, it is electronic.
You're close to being a card-carrying nerd right here. You think you're normal. You're deceiving yourself. You actually ordered. You're the first one who's ordered one of those Apple Watches.
Well, wow. I ordered it. I got it. I'm still trying to figure out if I like it or not.
Well, this is interesting. We'll have to have an uplight update from you. Calling in from a conference in Chicago. Well, tell me, Brian, what about the, well, you know, I have to have sync with my iPhone. And I don't know about it, but it'll be interesting to find out how that all works. You know, the world of the federal government and information technology has changed from buzzers to smartphones to who knows what's next. Google Glass, maybe not that. Maybe the Apple Watch. Maybe some of our listeners will be managing their data centers through their Apple Watch in the years to come. Who knows? So what kind of predictions do you see for accomplishing some of this change? You know, Tony Scott's making all these radical statements. They're saying, you know, security is not designed for today's systems. He says that putting security on the systems is like putting airbags on a 65 Mustang. I remember when the 65 Mustang was released, by the way. So where do you see this whole heading in the next few years here?
You know, there's a lot of duplicity out in the federal government around all different data centers and applications and software and whatnot. And so what we'll probably see, I think, is a rapid consolidation from a budget constraint perspective over the next several years. I think you'll start to see more innovation from the government. We're already seeing it, obviously, over the last few years, but we'll continue to see a surge in applications and development around that. And I think you'll see a lot more self-service, where you won't be picking up a phone to get help. You'll be doing it yourself. You'll be self-help, and you'll see a lot more self-service. I think Nirvana looks like the virtual reality world, and what does that look like, and how do we actually, you know, engage in that function? So staying on top of technology today is paramount in terms of just the overall efficacy of infrastructure today and where we want to get it to in the future. So if you don't have that balance and you're out of balance, which I think a lot of customers and agencies, et cetera, around the world really are, BMC is there to help you find that balance, both old and new.
Now, interesting, your observation about self-service. My wife and I went to see this Pixar movie last Saturday, and I was sitting in the lobby probably telling bad jokes or something, and I saw this family walk in, and it was a dad and kids, and the dad was going to go over to the ticket counter and buy tickets, and his teenage son grabbed him and said, "No, Dad, let's go over to the self-service kiosk instead."
Right.
And so what I see is over 40 is going to the person-to-person service desk, but the under 40, no, I'd much rather interact with this terminal and get my tickets that way. And it was a lightning bulb moment for me. When you said self-service, I said, yes, it's self-service and it's age-related, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a true paradigm shift going on now. It's how do we handle the bifurcation of old at legacy and new application in digital management. And I think that's where the bridge is, and that's what BMC does, is we help build that bridge. And I think you're right, you know, the younger generation looks at doing it themselves, and what are the most effective tools and what are the most effective platforms to do that. And so I think, you know, that's one of the neat things about going private, and our investors have really invested heavily in that area of technology for BMC.
And I'll make the ageist statement here. John Gilroy is an ageist. You know, I remember, you know, you'd see new technology, you'd go to a bookstore and you'd buy a book on it and learn about it, and then you'd master it and you'd be fine. Now, today with Amazon Web Services, well, good luck finding books on it, because it's so new and changing so quickly. You just have to go there and fit around, make mistakes, and try this and try that. And you know, what I found is going to conferences and sitting listening to someone talking about their experience with Redshift and what they did and how they maneuvered this, and this is an undocumented feature, and this, it's almost like it's a different way of learning the technology rather than buying a book and mastering Word 2.0 versus, well, you don't really master Amazon Web Services. You figure out how it's working today and then hope you can keep on top of it 6 months from now.
Right. I mean, you know, it's interesting. My son graduated from high school, and, you know, the guest speaker there talked about information and the information digital age, and that his generation, my son's generation, will be the first generation that too much information can be a dangerous thing and a bad thing. You know, we have everything from medicine to banking to insurance to, you know, automobiles, et cetera. That's all diagnostic and self-diagnostic. And so staying on top of all those things can be really, really challenging. And, you know, you really need to do your proper research. You know, I think going to these special functions like we have in September at our BMC Engage Summit, those are the types of places where you can actually get real expert knowledge and also use cases that help you better understand how to deploy or leverage what you have.
When you look at training, and because I teach and I enjoy being in a classroom, but more and more students are preferring online learning for flexible purposes. And much of this online learning is much more adaptive and can change pretty quickly. When I come up with a syllabus for a course, and I teach a course starting in January, it's going to be a four-month course, and it's going to be 37.5 hours, I pretty much know what I'm going to talk about. The problem is with information technology, well, good luck. I mean, if I assign you to take care of something, Brian, in January of next year, what's going to be available in January? What kind of threats are going to be out there in January of next year? What kind of new innovative systems are going to be? Is everyone going to be wearing an Apple Watch? How is that Apple Watch going to impact the way my listeners manage their security?
Yeah, I think, you know, BMC puts a lot of emphasis around training and education and also being at the tip of the spear. We also have a lot of online learning modules. So our customers have the ability, they can be on a Chase lounge on the French Riviera or by their pool or wherever, but they have the ability to actually tap into our learning modules. And do it virtually. So there's not necessarily always the need to be present with an instructor. If that self-service function's there, they should absolutely take advantage of it. Our education programs are top-notch.
And I think your site has a few blogs in there. I was reading some blogs this morning. There's more, actually, this is a deeper dive blog. You know, I mean, I see the trend in my course. I teach people to have 400 to 600-word blogs. But I see longer form blogs being more valuable today, 1,000-word, 1,500, 2,000-word blogs, where they do more of a deep dive into one very specialized topic because people's typing in specific needs. Well, how do I do X, Y, and Z with X, Y, and Z? And, well, here's a very thorough deep dive. And I think that's what the BMC folks – I don't know if you have like an academy there or a think tank, but there seems to be a group of people there that can do the deep dives and answer the questions.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a social media team that's part of our marketing department, and they are on top of it in terms of knowledge and knowledge information and finding relevant data and articles as well. And so our experts, our pillar presidents, we call them, they will blog about specific key topics that are very relevant in today's market, and also they'll talk about what's going on in the future and where things are headed. And our social media team helps, you know, collaborate on those different types of medium to get that information out to the public for awareness.
Isn't that funny? Pilar in Spanish, Pilar is a woman's first name.
Pilar. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that funny? Maybe it's a Pilar who's also a pillar.
Exactly.
Pilar. Yeah, that's a interesting name in Spanish. Goes way, way back. I'll have to take a break here and end up this interview. I'd like to find out more about your Apple Watch. Come back in 6 months and not talk about BMC. We'll talk about your watch and maybe security implications in that. And you walk into an agency and they kick you out because you were in that Apple Watch. I mean, this will be the story, I think.
Right. I'd love to come back and talk about it.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Brian Marvin, Vice President, Sales Public Sector for BMC.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio is on Twitter. Follow us at Fed News Radio as news breaks and develops throughout the day. At Fed News Radio, your source for federal news now.